2 from the message this morning. If you're here this morning, we looked at this first portion of this message. We'll look at part 2 this evening, but certainly thankful for this very familiar Psalm, Psalm 23. I will read it again this evening. Again, it's familiar to us, but notice with me in Psalm 23, the Lord would use David as the human penman of this wonderful, familiar Psalm. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I said this morning as we looked at this first portion or this first part of this message that often in our lives we've heard people use the metaphor as they've sought to try to speak about someone being an optimist or a pessimist, and they've said and they've used this metaphor, do you look at the cup as being half full or half empty? And many of us have heard that before and we've been familiar with that, but I said this morning that as a child of God, I'm thankful that my cup's not half full, it's not half empty, my cup runneth over. And we find at the end of verse number 5 this great declaration where the psalmist says, very simply, my cup runneth over. I think about the imagery of this verse of Scripture, of this statement of this verse of Scripture, and how it reveals to us the goodness of God in our lives. And it's not even that it's just full, it's running over. And our God daily loads us with benefits. He's so good to us. He's been so gracious and so kind to us. And we are blessed. And we ought to go through life with this perspective, my cup runneth over. So often people ask you, I mean, it's just a normal routine of being asked as you interact with people in life, hey, how are you? How's your day? How are things going? And as people, the people of God that understand the Word of God, truly this evening, our answer could be, my cup runneth over. I've been blessed beyond measure, and so have you. This morning we looked at 5 truths, biblical truths that should lead every child of God to saying, my cup runneth over. We said this, number 1, because my shepherd loves me. And I said this, it'd be enough. If that was the only thing that we could speak of, that my shepherd loves me, it'd be enough. But we said, my shepherd loves me, my shepherd died for me, my shepherd, he found me. He found me. Aren't you thankful that he found you? I don't know where he found you, but I know where he found me. And I know I wasn't seeking for him. Many times you'll hear people say, I found the Lord. And truly, it's the Lord that found us. We looked at the fact that he cares for us. He didn't say that we're to cast our burden upon the Lord and he might sustain us. He didn't even say that he can sustain us. He said he shall sustain us. And then we said this, he provides for us. My shepherd provides for me. And we talked about his provision. I made it abundantly clear that though he provides for all of our needs, and the reality is most of our wants, for us this evening that would be true, but we find this evening that our greatest need, the greatest need of mankind, is to be saved. It's salvation, it's redemption, reconciliation, and we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, my shepherd, he provides for me my greatest need, a need that could be met by no other, only through the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening we're going to look at 5 additional reasons that we can look to that will help us have this perspective as we go through life, my cup runneth over. Why do we need this perspective? Because you're going to deal with problems this week. You're going to have issues this week. Things aren't going to go right this week, and you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to get overwhelmed, and you're going to get down. But the reality is that in the midst of all of those things, what I'm sharing with you this evening and this morning are biblical truths that do not change. Your circumstances, they're going to change. Your feelings, they're going to change. But it's not going to change the fact that Jesus loves you. It's not going to change the fact that you're heaven bound. And we'll look at a number of these things this evening, and I hope that it would help us as we go through those disappointments of life, those trials and troubles that we'll endure, that we can still say, my cup runneth over. Because in verse number 5 of Psalm 23, it starts by speaking about, "Thou preparest a table before me," what? "In the presence of mine enemies." In the presence of mine enemies. But yet David was able to say, "My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over." Number 6 or number 1, however you want to take the notes, it's the 6th one on the list of 10. And this evening it would be this: "My shepherd leads me." My shepherd leads me. I'm thankful for God's leadership. I'm thankful that at times in my life and at times in your life, no doubt, we are lacking a direction. We are lacking an understanding of what the next steps are and what we're to do. And we find this evening that sheep need leadership. Sheep need direction. And I'm thankful this evening that my shepherd, he leads me. Here in Psalm 23, in verse number 3, the Bible says, "He restoreth my soul." Well, look at verse number 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Notice, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm thankful for God's leadership in my life. I'm thankful at times, no doubt, we are tempted to lean on our own understanding. We're looking at the events that are before us and decisions that we must face, but we must recognize the importance of following the leadership that our shepherd provides us with. This evening, as we begin to think about the leadership that our shepherd provides us with, I'm thankful that He's given us His Word. How precious the Bible is. And He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path." And no doubt, many of us here this evening, there's some children in the room, so they've not actually had the opportunity to drive a vehicle, but most of them have driven in a vehicle, and so they would understand this analogy as well. But for those of us that drive, you're going to leave tonight. In fact, many of you came here tonight, and you had your headlights on. It's getting dark earlier, right? But you know, when you left your house this evening, your lights did not shine, because I didn't drive here, I walked, right? So it doesn't count for my car being over there, all right? But when you left your house this evening, your headlights did not illuminate Fellowship Baptist Church. They don't shine that far. They just shine enough in front of you to be able to get where you're going. Eventually, you pulled up that driveway, and your headlights illuminate your destination. Correct? Some of you live a lot of miles away. And the number of miles, we used to live 19 miles from here. My headlights didn't shine 19 miles. They shine just far enough ahead to be able to get where I needed to go and eventually reach the destination. You know, God provides us with that kind of leadership. He leads us day by day, step by step. Some people say, "Well, I want to know what I'm going to do in 20 years. No, no, just be concerned about what you do today, what God has for you today. And He leads us, and I'm thankful for His leadership. He's given us His Word, and His Word is a guide for us. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, who guides us and leads us. And so this evening, when I think about this truth that my cup runneth over, I say one of the reasons that that's true is because my shepherd, He leads me. Number 7, my shepherd protects me. You know, we need divine protection. The Bible says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And this evening, we understand that we live, and the reality is that for centuries and millennia, we find that we've lived in a sin-cursed world where evil is all around and abounds. And I know at times we are tempted to think it's never been as bad as it is today. Just read some history and you'll find out that there have been plenty of times in history that it's actually been worse than it is today. And the reality, however, is that we need God's protection. The sheep, they need protection. And the shepherd provides protection for his sheep. And our shepherd is a good shepherd, and our shepherd provides us with that protection. We see in verse number 4, the Bible says this in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," notice, "I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I think about this, turn over to John 10, and we looked at a number of verses this morning in John 10, and we'll look there again this evening for this particular point, this thought. But look at John 10, and we'll look at verses 11 through 14, and consider this evening the way that the shepherd, my shepherd, he protects me. Often we think about protection and we are aware of the fact when we see some tragic circumstance or situation, how God may have protected us. But the reality is there's many times in your life and my life that God has protected us from things and we're not even aware of it. We have absolutely no idea. You know, sometimes we get disappointed about delays, don't we? We get frustrated. We want to get on the road at a certain time. We hit traffic. We this, that, so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, occasionally, it's happened in my life that God will allow me to get a little ways up the road, and I'll see a terrible accident. And I'll have that thought, you know what, Armando, if I had left when I wanted to leave, it's very possible and likely that I would have been right in the midst of that particular accident. But we can get so frustrated. God's protection, it comes in a variety of ways. Look at John 10 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. And what does he do? He leaves the sheep. Seriously? Yeah, that's what the hireling does. That's what he does. He leaves. Why? Because there's danger. And he leaves. But notice, it says this, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth. Why? Because he's an hireling. And notice this, and careth not for the sheep. Our fourth point this morning was that my shepherd cares for me. We find in verse number 14, notice what he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As we look through this portion of Scripture, we find that he speaks of the hireling and the way that the hireling flees when that enemy comes, when that wolf comes. But I want you to know this evening that our shepherd, he protects us. He's a good shepherd. He stays and he protects and he gives us what we need. He protects us. You know, at times he protects me from me. He protects me from me. And he protects you from you. Amen? I hope you're willing to admit that tonight. Because sometimes, you know, I think it was D.L. Moody said, the worst enemy I have is the man whose face I shave each morning. Sometimes we're our worst enemy. And sometimes in life, God protects me from me. Making terrible decisions. Amen? Not waiting on the Lord, not seeking God's face. Responding in situations where really we'd say it's not really responding, it's reacting. We just get hasty and what have you. But God, see, our shepherd, he leads me. He protects me. Number 8 this evening, my shepherd intercedes for me. He intercedes for me. I'm so thankful that the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he took my place on that cross of Calvary, but he was buried in a borrowed tomb and he didn't stay there. He rose, conquering sin, death, and the grave. He lives forevermore. But the Bible teaches us that he lives and he makes intercession for us. Notice in Hebrews 7 and verse number 25, a precious truth of God's word is contained within this single verse of Scripture. And I'm thankful that he's our intercessor and that he makes intercession for us. And I think about Peter. You know, Peter is probably one of the disciples that most of us can relate well to. We can think about Peter and we can think about so many things, and man, there are times in which we can look at his life and we can read the records of what took place, and man, he is so right, and he's just, man, he is right on the mark. And then other times you read Peter and you kind of scratch your head and you say, what was he thinking? What was he doing? I mean, it was great when Peter said, Lord, if it's thee, bid me come to thee. And he walked on the water. What great faith. But then he says to the other disciples in John 20, he says, I'm going fishing. Say, what's going on, Peter? But we find that Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, he's speaking to Peter and he tells Peter about denying the Lord. And Jesus tells him this. He says that Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But then there's a precious, precious truth. But I have prayed for thee. Wow. I've prayed for thee. And notice in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I'm thankful for that salvation. But he says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We find that in Romans 8 and verse 34, the Bible teaches us again this very truth that we find here in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, where the Bible says, "Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." My shepherd intercedes for me. That should lead me to say, my cup runneth over. I mean, so often we think about count your blessings. Sometimes we think about tangible, earthly, temporal. No, we want to get on a different plane because those things are going to come and go. Solomon says, wealth, it makes wings and flies away. But these truths that we look at this evening and this morning as well, these are truths that endure. These are truths that are never going to change, that you and I, the evening and throughout this week and this upcoming year, we never know what's going to come down our road and what we're going to deal with. But we can say with the psalmist, and truly it is true in our lives, that my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Number 9, my shepherd is preparing a place for me. That's exciting. It's really exciting. John 14, Jesus had just spent time with the disciples, and in the 13th chapter, he washed their feet and gave them just great truth and lessons, and he had been explaining to them for some time how he would go to the cross of Calvary. He says at the end of the chapter, the 13th chapter, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." And he goes through and he provides them with this information, but then he begins the 14th chapter and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." What a wonderful statement. Jesus knowing the disciples and knowing their hearts, and he knows your heart as well. There are times, if you'd be honest, your heart's troubled. But Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he says this in verse number 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." But then notice he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." You think about that just for a moment. He's preparing a place for us. It's absolutely amazing when you consider the blessings that he's bestowed upon us here. He's been so good to us. We think about all of these wonderful truths that we look at throughout today and understand that we say, "My cup runneth over," but we find that my shepherd at this moment, yes, he ever liveth to make intercession for us, but he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." See, this world is not my home. Aren't you thankful for that? Miss Regina and Mr. Don came up here the other day. They pulled up in the driveway and we were chatting for a moment and we're speaking about a few things and they shared something and we're just kind of talking and I said, "You know, one of the things that reminds me, I'm so thankful, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Amen? And the reality is that we look at the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. It talks about we're pilgrims and we're strangers. I'm not home, but I'm going home. I don't know when I'm getting there, but I know where I'm going. I know that I'm going home. And the Bible teaches me that my shepherd is preparing a place for me. And listen, he doeth all things well. Amen? He doesn't cut any corners. He does all things well. And I'm looking forward to heaven. And I'm looking forward. And listen, understand with me. I mentioned it this morning, and I'll mention it again here in just a little while. But the reality is that heaven is heaven because of the presence of Jesus. It's not just because he's preparing a place for us, but it's that he's preparing a place for us that where he is, there we may be also. And that's powerful. And listen, on your worst day and on my worst day, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And my shepherd is preparing a place for me. And that should cause me to say, in the midst of however terrible it is, my cup runneth over. Why? Because my shepherd's preparing a place for me. It's like the day that I said to the man that I was doing wonderful, and he told me I was lying to him. And so I'm going to heaven. If you're going to heaven, not only you're wonderful, but your cup is running over. Number 10, we're going to spend some time on this one. My shepherd is coming back for me. My shepherd's coming back for me. Listen, no one is going to prevent Jesus from coming back. He's going to come back right on time. And he's coming for me. In the same passage of Scripture in John 14, we see in verse 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. But he says this in verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And notice he says, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming back for me. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're enduring, and he knows why he's left us here. Listen, there are times in which people will have the idea, why are we here? What's going on? God has a purpose for us. God has a plan for us. The Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In the context of 2 Peter chapter 3, the promise that is being spoken of is the promise of his return. And there are scoffers and there are mockers and they're saying, where is he? All things continue as they always have been. And the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to us, word, but is long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we find this evening that my shepherd, he's coming back for me. Now, this truth should encourage every child of God. It should comfort us to know that our shepherd is coming back for us and to know, listen, I don't know the hour, I don't know the day, but I know that as you see what's taking place in our world, when you look at all that's taking place, we know that it's getting closer. It's closer today than it was yesterday. Amen? And we find here in Acts chapter number 1, look over there, and I want you to think about not only the comfort that this truth provides for you and I, the comfort that it gives us, and the reason that we should say, my cup runneth over, because he's coming back for me. He's not going to forsake us. And we find here that this not only comforts us, but it ought to motivate us. I don't know when he's coming back, and neither do you, but I know one thing. 1 John 3 speaks of this. I don't want to be ashamed at his appearing. I don't want to be ashamed at his appearing. There's no doubt in my life, there's been a time in your life, I know there's been times in my life, that you've been ashamed at someone's appearing. Someone left you some instructions. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was an employer, a boss. And they left you with some instructions and you weren't diligent to do what you were supposed to do. And you were ashamed at their appearing. Maybe a teacher. I don't know what the context would be. But this evening, I don't want to be ashamed at the appearing of my Savior. I want to be found doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Notice in Acts 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. At times it seems as if we've forgotten this piece of instruction that the Lord has left us with. They want to know when the times would be, and he says it's not for you to know, but here's what your duty is. Here's what your responsibility is. Notice in verse number 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Notice the same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And so what was the duty here? When you think about the disciples and hear this record in Acts 1, we find that it's a comforting truth, but it's also a motivational truth. Jesus is coming again. He left them with instruction. When we read the book of Acts and we begin to read and unfold what's happened in the first century and you begin to see the work that God is doing through his disciples and the way in which the Bible says that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine, the Bible says that they turned the world upside down, and you begin to see how that the gospel is spread through the known world and all that takes place in the first century in the book of Acts through God's people, I believe with all of my heart this evening that part of the reason for that is they were motivated by this promise. He's coming again. He shall come. And we find this evening that we're to understand that my shepherd is coming back for me. Notice this, we've seen it not only in John 14 in Acts 1, but look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, because I want you to see in chapter number 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice with me this evening, he said, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There in John 14 and Acts 1, we find that he says, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. And we find here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 16, notice the Bible says, for the Lord himself. Some folks still turning. Let me let you get there. Notice verse 16. We're jumping right in the middle of this portion of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, really the whole context of it. But notice verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, verse 17, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm thankful this evening that Jesus isn't sending an angel for me. The Lord himself. He said, I will come again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. This same Jesus, Acts chapter number 1, which you've seen go, no, he's coming back. He's not sending somebody for us. Something different about that. Something precious about that. Something exciting about that. You ever in a situation and maybe you're going to have a meeting with somebody and they send somebody else out to meet with you. No, I didn't want to meet with them. I wanted to meet with you. Jesus isn't sending an angel. He's not even sending a Michael. He's not sending an archangel. No, he's coming back. My shepherd is, he's coming for me. And I'm so thankful for that wonderful truth that God has given us. Notice in the book of Titus, just a few pages over in your Bible, in Titus chapter number 2, notice what the Bible teaches us here with regard to this precious truth of his return. It says here in this portion of Scripture in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, notice the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I'm thankful that he gave himself for me so that he could redeem me, but I'm thankful that he's coming back for me. And this evening, as we begin to look at the truth of God's word, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that when he shall come, listen, he's not going to tarry his coming. Jesus is coming back right on time. And this evening, when we understand these wonderful truths that we've examined throughout the day, five this morning, five more this evening, I hope that each of us would leave, and we're not, I'm thankful as a child of God, my cup is not half full. My cup's not half empty. My cup is running over. And so is yours. And I believe this evening that if we would live with that kind of perspective, God would give us opportunity to impact some people. Because there's something different. Why do you live that way? Why are you so full of joy? And why do you have this? Because of what my God's done for me. Because he loves me and he died for me and he found me and he cares about me and he provides for me. And as we've looked this evening, he leads me and he protects me and he intercedes for me and he's preparing a place for me and one day he's coming back for me. Right. Hallelujah. My cup runneth over. This morning I mentioned about a song, and I did not know if anyone would have any knowledge of the song, and I know that Mike Clark, a friend of mine, he sings the song, and I made comment of it this morning. The song is titled Drinking from My Saucer, and it speaks about my cup runneth over, and I'm drinking from my saucer. And Miss Mana said to me when she left this morning, she said, I have that poem hanging on my refrigerator. And she brought me a copy of it this evening. Here's what the author, a man by the name of Bill Anderson, I don't know the man, I heard Mike Clark sing the song. Here's what the author says. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now. Some of us say, yep, I'm in that same boat. Amen. But I don't worry about that because I'm happy anyhow. As I journey through this life, I'm reaping better than I sow, and I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I'm not sure about the English of this poem, but I'm just going to read it like he wrote it. Amen. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going is tough. But with loving friends and family, I feel I'm rich enough. I thank God for His loving care, and the blessings He's bestowed. For I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. Oh, I remember when things went wrong and my faith grew a wee bit thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough rows I have hoed. For I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the path grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings, for I've been blessed enough. And may never be too busy to help another bear his load. For then I'll keep drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. I just wonder this evening, we lead into this week of Thanksgiving, and of course, as God's people, we're to be thankful every day of our lives, not just the month of November, not just the week of Thanksgiving. The Bible says that we're to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to be a thankful people. Rejoice evermore. What a simple verse of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice evermore. Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist didn't say, this is the day the Lord hath made. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes, and then we'll determine if we'll rejoice or not. No, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This evening, I hope that as we fix our attention for a couple of messages today on a simple statement from Psalm 23:5, my cup runneth over. I said this morning. I'll say it again in closing. The list that I gave you, 10 things, it's not exhaustive. You could add so many more things to the list. I'd challenge you to do that. Why does your cup, why is it running over? You say, I don't think my cup is running over. Get along with God. Get into His Word. Let Him minister to your heart. Because I'm telling you this evening, we should be able to say with all honesty and sincerity, not just repeating empty words, but true from the heart, we ought to be able to say with the psalmist, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. This evening, we have so much to be thankful for. We've considered 10 truths throughout the day that do not change with my circumstances, with our circumstances, with our feelings, our emotions. They're settled. They're constant. And Father, I pray that as we go through life, You'd help us to go day by day with this perspective that my cup runneth over. Help us to live as a blessed people, because truly we have been blessed. God, I pray that as we go throughout our busy days and we interact with those that we come in contact with, that we would be able to show to them a heart of gratitude because of how great a God You are. I pray, Father, that You'd forgive us, forgive me, for murmuring and complaining, for discontent. Lord, help us to live with this perspective. My cup runneth over. I pray that in the quietness of the moment this evening, that, Lord, we'd do business with You. I pray that You would use Your Word in our lives to not only encourage us by these wonderful truths, but, Lord, to convict us in times in our lives where we've lacked gratitude. to acknowledge tonight that sin, to confess it and forsake it, but also to determine that by your grace and with your help, we'll live as a thankful people. I pray that you'd have your will and way in these moments of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Kimberly's going to play quietly on the piano. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart this evening. Maybe you want to come thank God for one.